VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. If you listen regularly to this program, you'll know that we live in a culture that is increasingly becoming hostile to Christianity. I mean, challenging biblical moral values at every turn. Christians today, well, they're being told to cower off into a corner, get with the times, and in many cases, keep your religion inside the four walls of your church. And redefinitions are the rule of the day, where light is darkness, darkness is light, where right is wrong, wrong is right. And with this intensification of intolerance toward Christianity, our guest today indicates that this is not a time to be silent and certainly not a time to hide, that it's imperative for believers in Christ to stand up for biblical truth and to expose the works of darkness. Joining with us on Crosstalk today, we welcome back Dr. Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Emeritus of the Moody Church. He served as senior pastor for some 36 years. He's a speaker in the radio programs Running to Win, Songs in the Night, a speaker and award-winning author on several books he has written. Some of the titles include The Cross and the Shadow of the Crescent, Life-Changing Bible Verses You Should Know, We Will Not Be Silenced, and the brand new released No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. Dr. Lutzer, welcome back to Crosstalk.
I'm so glad to be with you, Jim, and thank you to all who are listening. As you indicated, we're going to be talking about some very important issues. And right out of the gate, I want to mention this, that we as Christians didn't go looking for a culture war. The culture war is on our doorsteps. We can't avoid it in law, in schools, in business, name it, media, and you'll discover that we are up against an unaccountable culture war, and we need to stand strong.
Indeed. Well, I believe the old adage is true. Those who shout intolerance the loudest practice it the most. And you've got a warning in the very first chapter of your book, No Reason to Hide, in which you write this: America is no longer the country some of us remember it to be. A cultural tsunami has arrived, and there is no safe ground. Could you unfold that for us?
Yes, it used to be in America that you could apply for a job, for example, and teach in a college or a university as long as you had the credentials and were a good teacher. Today, you can't do that unless you are asked whether or not you are willing to go along with a number of different pronouns, the whole pronoun phenomenon, whether or not you support the LGBTQ community. I tell in the book a story about two women who worked in a store. We spoke to the attorney. They worked in a store with integrity for 20 years. But when they were asked to wear a rainbow pin signifying their support of the LGBTQ agenda, they said no, and they were fired. So we're living in an entirely different day. But also, Jim, you mentioned at the beginning of the book, I said something very important. And that is, I forget who said it first, but evil never retreats on its own. It only retreats when it is confronted by a superior power. And that power, of course, is the church, it's the power of the gospel, and the question is whether or not we will be faithful no matter the consequences.
Hmm. Well, you've got another powerful a quote in your book I'd like to give here, and you write this: our culture is closing in on us, and there's nowhere we can escape. We have to declare where we stand and be prepared to be vilified, canceled, or shamed. Dr. Lutzer, those don't sound like very pleasant options to us.
Not only that, Jim, but you know, what is canceled today is being criminalized now. In other words, what used to be canceled is now being criminalized. So we're having various laws that are instituted, and as a result of that, it's a whole new day. Let me give you an example. Moody Bible Institute and a number of other schools are actually in a lawsuit filed by the ACLU with the government because these schools discriminate and they do not accept LGBTQ activity and students. And so that's what we're up against. The School of the Ozarks has filed a lawsuit because if there is no distinction between men and women, boys and girls, the government is insisting that you have girls, for example, in a Christian school, they should be able to welcome into their dorms and into their rooms boys who were born boys but now identify as girls. So that's the way in which I say, you know, what is vilified in one era is, of course, criminalized in the next, and that's what we're up against. But my desire, and you know, Jim, as you've had an opportunity to read this book, is to always give examples of people who stood against the culture.
Yes.
And who would not bow.
Yes, yes. And you've got many examples of this in your book. By the way, how is this book, No Reason to Hide, different from your last book, We Will Not Be Silenced?
Well, both books have to do with the culture, but this book has many new chapters that are not covered in We Will Not Be Silenced. For example, I'm just looking at the table of contents, and here's an entirely new chapter. Will we expose the greatest lie that is our nation's most cherished delusion?
Mm-hmm.
And that lie has, of course, to do with the ascendancy of the self and how I am the ruler of who I am and only I know who I am, etc., etc. And then issues regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion. I show how that works against us. And then another chapter that's entirely new has to do with the history of racism, stolen land, collective guilt. How do we answer the question of, whether or not we should feel guilty because we're on land that was stolen from the Native Americans? These are the kinds of questions that I deal with. And then we could go on and talk about propaganda. Also, the issue, of course, of transgenderism, which I discuss in considerable detail, the education of our children, and of course, issues regarding the global reset.
Yes.
My other book did not have anything about that. So some of the same issues may be there. They're treated very differently, but most of the chapters in this book are entirely new, looking at the culture and still asking the question, how do we respond at a time when we have lost our way?
Yes, and indeed, there's a foundational truth that you point out that is, as we deal with these issues, that we must be gospel-driven and that biblical redemption must lie at the heart of our motivation. So it's not that we are salt or light, but we must be salt and light. I mean, that's a critical component.
Exactly. You know, and there are people who say, and there are pastors who say, well, all that we're going to do is to emphasize the gospel. Well, I understand that. That's the most important thing, of course, the centrifugal force of everything. But the people in the pew who are facing the world on Monday morning, in their schools, in law, in business, in media, in their relationships, they are up against the culture. So Christianity, let me put it this way, the church has always been an island of righteousness in a sea of paganism, and so we must know that our situation from that standpoint is not new, but it is certainly new for us here in America, where we always thought that freedom of religion was something that was basically untouchable. But now we are finding out that there are lawsuits against Christian schools, as I mentioned.
Yes.
You have, of course, social media, which has exacerbated all of this. And so you put forth an opinion. It doesn't jive with the contemporary orthodoxies. And pretty soon you discover that you are in deep trouble.
As a nation, but you also have a warning to the church. I mean, you indicate that the church is facing a day of reckoning. Comment on that day of reckoning.
Well, that's interesting that you should raise that. I do have in the book a chapter entitled, Will We Compromise with a Christian Left? The church is facing a day of reckoning because, let me put it this way, and I mention this twice in the book. Are we going to interpret the Bible, through the lens of culture, or are we going to interpret the culture through the lens of the Bible? In other words, are we going to critique this culture on the basis of the Bible, or are we going to submit to the culture and give the culture what it wants? Those are the kinds of issues that the church is going to face. And there are two areas in which the church is submitting. Number one, I think, for example, of the issue of race, critical race theory, which ends up dividing the church, and we can talk about that. The other area has to do with sexuality. What you have is, under a false view of love, the idea is that we must submit to the culture. Love requires that we accept the LGBTQ community, same-sex marriage, etc. People don't realize that love can be evil. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they didn't stop loving. They just started to love the wrong things, lovers of pleasure, lovers of self, lovers of money. And so, you know, the world says, love is love. What's wrong with two people loving each other? Well, there is such a thing as a love that is distorted, it is wrong, and it is destructive. So those are the two areas I think of immediately. And of course, part of this is wrapped up with social justice and all of these other agendas. And that's why I think the church is facing a day of reckoning. Are we going to stand for truth, take the consequences, or give the culture what the culture wants?
Chapter 2 of your book, Dr. Lutzer, is you use the terms collective demonization. What do you mean by that?
That means that anyone who does not go along with the accepted narratives is demonized. And of course, that may be consequences for one's job, as I've already mentioned. You know, if you don't sign in on all of the various views, especially regarding sexuality, even if you're teaching mathematics, the point is that that's the way in which we live. You may not get the job. Another thing that happens, of course, is collective demonization helps when you do not go along with the culture in terms of issues regarding the vaccine, for example, issues regarding the LGBTQ agenda. When you begin to voice opposition, you are demonized, and you are put into that pocket, if I might say that. And I also discuss the issue of white supremacy and all the other things that are going on in the culture. So that's what we must recognize, is that we are no longer allowed to have independent opinions and go merrily on our way if we don't submit to the opinions that are prevalent, the cultural streams, as I put it. We are demonized.
Well, friends, it's there, and increasingly we're hearing the term being used of those who are counterculture. We hear the term extremist. I mean, it's being used to no end. The newspaper headlines, newscast, and that to determine the religious right as being extremist. Well, we'll be back in just 1 minute. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, our guest today, the book No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has the Bible been confirmed by archaeological discoveries?
In many ways it has, Chris. Many ancient artifacts have been found, and in each case they confirm the general framework given in Scripture. The Bible claims to be a book of true history, and we would expect to find historical evidence and general agreement with it. But we wouldn't expect everything to be found. Much of the Bible took place long ago, and documents would be rare. But with many turns of the archaeologist's spade, we find details that support Scripture. Yes, we can be confident that the Bible is literally true, and even better than that, it's spiritually true. The evidence we find in history enhances our confidence in its spiritual claims. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Thank you.
You're listening to Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network. A brand new book, No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. Friends, this book is packed full. We are going to scratch the surface through this program of some of its contents, but there is so much information in this book that is really, I would encourage every believer to read this book and to understand where we're at and the need for us not to hide, to take a stand in this culture that is collapsing all around us. This book, by the way, is being featured at our VCY bookstore during the month of September. And they have worked out a special arrangement with the publisher to offer this book just as low a price as possible, not only so you can get a copy for yourself, but that you might get multiple copies to share with others. This book was just released from the publisher. The publisher has a retail price of $18.99 on this book. But through September 30th, our bookstore is offering this book at 58% off for just $7.98. Plus any applicable tax and or shipping. It's available right now at vcy.com, vcy.com, or you may call 1-888-722-4829, 1-888-722-4829. Their purpose is to get this out as broad as they can in as many hands as possible, and so they worked with the publisher to get that price down in order to allow you to get multiple copies. And friends, so you can distribute this to others. You can get a copy to your pastor. You can get it to your church leadership. You can get it to your Christian friends. Dr. Lutzer, it's imperative that we are understanding of the times in which we live, and this book really pulls back the veil to see where things stand today.
And, you know, one of the reasons I wrote it is that there are Christians who say that their church lives in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
It acts as if the culture isn't collapsing, so it goes on doing the same old thing in the same old way, and it may be a very good thing, but the problem is that people are facing the issues. And so I wrote this book, which covers many, many different issues. We've talked about such things as the cancel culture briefly, and issues regarding white supremacy, the triumph of the self, diversity, equity, and inclusion. How do we handle the criticisms regarding America propaganda? Well, we're going to be getting into some of these things, but what I try to do is to say, what is a Christian response to this? Mm-hmm. And then ask the question, do we have the courage to stand against the culture, or will we simply give the culture whatever it wants?
You know, and I so appreciate every chapter you write. You've got that promises to carry with us. A hero who found no reason to hide, an action step. I mean, this is all about challenge. It's information, of course, but it's about challenge and encouragement that is so important for the believer today.
And that's, of course, what I believe that my gifting is. You know, I'm trying to help the culture, help Christians navigate the culture, and to do so faithfully. You know, the church is supposed to be in the water, if I might put it this way, like a ship is in the ocean. The church is to be in the world like a ship is in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But when the ocean gets into the ship, the ship is in trouble.
Yep.
And I see us here in America having lived so long with freedom that we forget that Christians in the past have often, at great personal cost, lived for Christ. Of course, in the instances of many, it led to their death. We call them martyrs. But others who paid heavy prices, you know, they were marginalized, they were not allowed to have jobs, and on we go.
Critical race theory. I mean, this is impacting our culture. We can't escape it. It's happening in classrooms. It's happening in the workplace. Address this matter of critical race theory and how we should not hide from this, but really take a stand for Christ in the midst of CRT in today's culture.
Yes, I think you might be referring to the chapter when I speak about should we encourage unity or divide by promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's where I discuss critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
Critical race theory is, of course, Marxist. Marx believed that there are two groups of people. There are oppressors and those who are oppressed. And you belong to one or the other. So this has been applied to race, Saul Alinsky here in Chicago showed how that can be done to bring about perpetual conflict between the races so that we look at one another always in oppositional terms, where I am a victim. You, of course, are the person who is victimizing me. You're the oppressor. And so based on the color of skin, we're put into those categories. So the attack is not so much against racism, which we know exists in every human heart. The attack is against skin color. For example, I quote a Christian book, supposedly Christian, entitled, Can White People Be Saved? And it answers, yes, they can be, but it talks about the heresy of whiteness. Well, why don't we really talk about racism as it exists, rather than dividing people into these categories? Jim, we can't move ahead in race relations as long as we are shouting at one another across these walls. What Christianity says, this is remarkable. I hope everyone listens to the Word of God here. Colossians 3:11. In Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, Scythian, barbarian, but Christ is all and in all. Now, Paul didn't say that the Greeks stopped being Greeks, the barbarians stopped being barbarians, the Jews stopped being Jews, but he said that there is a transcendent unity when those folks have believed in Jesus. And my contention as a pastor is, we have to move toward one another, where critical race theory tells us always to accuse, to push apart, to destroy, to vilify one another. And somehow the belief is that that will bring about some kind of harmony or some kind of improvement of the situation. To put it as simply as I can, I quote someone as saying that critical race theory keeps tearing apart what Jesus died to bring together. So what we have to do is to ask ourselves, how do we move forward together? But we cannot do it as long as we put one another into race relations. By the way, while I'm on the topic, as a result of this idea that we have our own truth, and this is all related, I point out that at Princeton University, a directive came down that said that mathematics, if you believe that it has only one right answer, then you're talking about racism and white math. And a professor who opposes this, whom I quote extensively, says that he fears this more than he does the communism that he grew up in under in Romania, because he said at least the communists believed that 2 plus 2 was equal to 4. Mm. There was an objectivity of knowledge, even among atheists, that is lacking today. Now, I want every listener to ask themselves this question. Let's suppose that some of these graduates came to your community and they opened the new woke bank that did not believe that mathematics had only one right answer. So you go to make a withdrawal, and they say, well, we have your truth, you have your truth, and we have our truth. Thank you very much. Is this absurd? Absolutely. That's why George Orwell is quoted as saying that there are some ideas that are so absurd that only intellectuals believe them.
Dr. Lutzer, there's so much to unpack in your book. I'd like to bring up another topic, because we are seeing the redefining of words in our culture today. It's happening more and more frequently. Words like marriage, sex, man, woman, they're all being redefined. And so, you know, the word immunization, I saw even the word pregnancy is now being redefined in order to include abortion. You write about the way language is used is propaganda.
You know, propaganda has been a part of every regime. I, of course, have had an interest in Hitler ever since I wrote a book about Nazism. Hitler believed that if you starve children, you should call it putting them on a low-calorie diet. Killing Jews was the cleansing of the land. So in this way, propaganda is used because Hitler is quoted as saying that with a right use of propaganda, you can make heaven appear like hell and hell appear like heaven. And what I point out is that by the use of propaganda today, darkness is declared to be light, and light is declared to be darkness. Now, I want to give an example of the kind of thing that is happening in our university. I actually give six different ways that language is being used today in propaganda, but let me give you one of the ways, and that has to do with speech codes in university. One of the universities, and I quote it here by name, it lists these flagged words: freshman, victim, warrior, addict, disabled person, policeman. And then it says, if you are in an area and there is a barber shop, don't say that he takes in walk-ins because you might offend those who can't walk. Now, what we have to do, Jim, is to take a deep breath, step back, and ask, what in the world is this all about? It is not intended to raise the level of the debate or discussion. It is intended to silence the discussion. At the end, nobody knows what's appropriate. And you just retreat into silence. You self-censor yourself. Because nobody knows. I mean, can you still go to a restaurant and ask for a menu? Nobody knows. You can't use the word master bedroom, apparently. That's another forbidden word. Well, can you say that somebody mastered a subject? Nobody knows. So the idea is silence. And when we talk about, I hope we have the opportunity of also talking about this issue of transgenderism, what we'll see is how language is being used there. But that's an example of how language is used whenever you want to have propaganda. Very quickly, another way is to transfer the discussion from ideas to feelings. You're pro-life, you hate women. You believe in strong borders, you're racist. You're opposed to same-sex marriage, you're a bigot. You disagree with me, go see a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
See your therapist. Do you see how the argument is framed?
Indeed. And friends, it is only growing in its intensity in this regard. Can we counter this propaganda? How do we do it?
Oh, I list several different ways. One of them is to peel back labels. For example, if you have somebody who says, I'm into Black Lives Matter, that sounds good. We should all believe that Black Lives Matter. But then when you peel it back, you discover, of course, that it's anti-nuclear family, just like Marx was, just like Lenin was. And so what we have to do is to learn to do that and to distinguish knowledge from wisdom.
Friends, wow, this program hour is going too fast today. I'm going to just delve into a few more topics after the break, and certainly we want to give you opportunity in the broadcast as well to call in, but stay tuned, friends. Much more to unpack here on Crosstalk. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, our guest today on Crosstalk.
Is it okay to abort a baby? People give many reasons why abortion is an acceptable choice. The inconvenience of pregnancy. Infant disabilities. It's the woman's body. It's not a baby. This is a result of rape or incest. Incompetence of parents. And she's not ready to be a parent. In the DVD, Seven Reasons, Ray Comfort addresses these seven questions, reasoning with college students and people on the street about whether such objections are justified. You will see those who are ardently pro-choice change their mind in moments. This powerful 42-minute DVD, Seven Reasons, is available for a donation of just $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD, Seven Reasons.
You're tuned to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is with us here today, and as he served Moody Church as pastor, senior pastor for some 36 years, now pastor emeritus, speaker on radio broadcast, author of several books. We're discussing his latest, No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. And as you read this book, ladies and gentlemen, it'll equip you. It'll help you defend your biblical beliefs with confidence, also compassion. But you can identify many of these battleground issues, you know, the social justice movement, this whole redefinition of terms today, the cultural attacks that are going on, progressivism, wokeism. And we'll get into some of this issue here today. But I just want to remind you, as this is a featured book of the month during this month of September and through September 30th, and that date's coming sooner than later, the book that is normally retailed for $18.99, they have available at 58% off, $7.98 plus any applicable tax or shipping. It's available right now by going to vcy.com, vcy.com. You may call 1-888-722-4829. And at that price, it's possible for you to get multiple copies so you can share this with others. Again, it's entitled No Reason to Hide, subtitled Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. Dr. Lutzer, let's talk about this LGBT plus indoctrination. You address the indoctrination of children. Children are so often the targets, whether it be, you know, critical race theory or LGBT plus indoctrination and so much more. But this indoctrination that's going on, the LGBT movement, it's just off the charts what's happening in our culture, from the educational system today to PBS specials to preschool programs for young children to indoctrinate their minds in this. We've got drag fests that are happening in farmers markets and school libraries here across this nation. Address this matter, if you would, please.
Well, first of all, let me say, as I began when you introduced me, we're living at a time when we are not looking for culture wars, but the culture wars have come to us. They are in our face, and we have to deal with them. But since you raised the issue, let's spend a moment talking about transgenderism. In George Orwell's book, 1984, there was a man by the name of Winston who was taken to a back room, and he was taught that 2 plus 2 is equal to 5, sometimes it's equal to 3, and sometimes it's equal to both together. Now, I've often thought about that passage. What is it that is really happening? Well, the answer is not, maybe they couldn't convince George Orwell's man, Winston, to actually believe that 2 plus 2 was 5, but something else was going on. They wanted him to be comfortable living with lies. And that's where we are today. Everybody knows that a man can't have babies too. Everybody knows that a woman cannot father a child. And if you tease this through, you discover that indeed that's what is being taught.
Mm-hmm.
This is so destructive to young people. Just yesterday, we received a notice from a good friend of ours who said that a young teenage girl was going through surgery and she was having a mastectomy because she wanted to become a boy. She was exploring becoming a boy. She is destroying all possibility of her becoming a biological parent. Boys are, of course, being chemically castrated. We know that that is happening. Totally destroying their futures. And all this is seen as progress. And, of course, we know that it is truly demonic progress. Now, one of the things I do in my book is I try to help parents think through, what do you say to a child who comes home from school and says, "Mom and Dad, I think I'm trans"? First of all, what you need to do is to listen to them carefully, find out why they are confused, because if they say that, they are indeed confused. So you listen very carefully, try to understand their point of view. But then what you have to do is to point out that self-perception is not always a reliable guide as to who you are. You know, it's possible to go into a psych ward and find somebody who genuinely believes that he is Napoleon. But he isn't thinking that you are something doesn't make you that. It, you know, unless there's biology and other confirmation along with it. I use the example also, I use it too quickly in the book, but there are young women especially who struggle with, you know, the disorder, anorexia, and they look in the mirror and believe that they are overweight. Point of fact, they are starving themselves to death. Now, should we simply say, well, only you know who you really are, therefore we take your evaluation of who you are, and we think that that's authentic? No. What we help them to do is to untangle their confusion. I quote in the book a man who says, I am a woman. That is my right as a man. That's equivalent to saying, if a man is 6 foot tall, I am 6 foot six. That is my right as a man. No, it isn't, because there are some things that are not your right as a man, and you cannot speak the words and make yourself 6 inches taller and believe that it's going to happen. By the way, I also refer to a man who is 67 years old, but he wants his birth certificate changed to 20 years younger because that's who he feels he really is.
Yeah.
I mean, this has led to such absurdity that it's impossible for anyone to believe it. And Ayn Rand was not necessarily a fan of Christianity, but she did say this. She said, you can avoid reality, but you can't avoid the consequences of avoiding reality. So it's possible for you to avoid biology, but you can't avoid the consequences of avoiding biology. They're going to catch up with you, and this is demonically destructive. And why is it that so many kids think they are trans? Well, oftentimes in sex ed classes, they are shown pornography and other things that bring guilt. The guilt leads to depression. They're not feeling good. So somebody says, you know what your problem is? You're just the wrong gender. What you need to do is to switch genders, and then it's going to take care of your depression and your self-doubt and the image that you don't like when you look into the mirror. That is the answer, and that is nonsense. And parents, stand against this with all that you possibly can. And I also have in the book an entire chapter on what is being taught today in our public schools.
Right.
And it is horrible regarding race, regarding sexuality, and its explicitness, and its evil, and they want our children. You know, Hitler made the statement, in effect, to the German people, you take care of your children, you feed them, you clothe them, but I want their souls.
Wow.
Children today being clothed and fed by parents, but the school is stealing their souls. And because sexuality is such an important part of us, the whole idea today in the secular world is educating children about these matters is too important a task to be left to parents. We have to do it so that they are properly indoctrinated in all of the modern orthodoxies.
Dr. Lutzer, I wish we had another hour on the clock here. We don't, but you've got so many issues in this book. And listeners, we just encourage you to get copies, plural, copies of the book in order to have one for yourself to share with others. You also have warnings in here toward the church itself. And the church has adopted so many of these things. I mean, we just saw even the executive committee of Southern Baptist Convention calling out two congregations to disassociate with them here within the last couple of days over LGBT-related issues. How is it that a church goes woke? You address that also in your book.
I do, and I point out, first of all, I give an example, a concrete example that was sent to me by a friend of mine about how race caused his church to go woke. After the death of George Floyd, Up until that time, the congregation was one. They were bearing one another's burdens. They were working together in the community. And then suddenly, based on skin color, everything began to divide. And he said that in every service, there was now 2 minutes of hate.
Mm.
You're white, stand in the corner. Everything is your fault. And so the church began to divide over that issue. And in a previous segment, a few moments ago, we talked about how the Bible does indeed answer that and speak about the fact that there's a transcendent unity regarding the color of our skin. By the way, it is interesting that the book White Fragility is based on the theory that the way you overcome racism is to become a racist. And you judge everyone by the color of their skin and not the content of their character, as Martin Luther admonished us to do. The other way a church goes woke, and you've already hinted at it, has to do with the matters of sexuality. And that is when we have that wrong view of love that I mentioned earlier, where love suddenly means that you have to accept same-sex marriage, that you have to accept people, and of course we should always be accepting people. I want to emphasize that. I don't want to be unclear on that point. But that you also have to accept their behavior, because after all, that's the loving thing to do. And I quote a well-known evangelical, whom I will not mention here on the radio, though his name is in the book, who preached a sermon, I think it was in 2004, against same-sex marriage. But he was asked to speak somewhere, and as a result of that, he was vilified by the LGBTQ community, the fact that he was invited to speak, and he apologized. And he said, you know, I didn't want to hurt anybody, and, you know, God loves everybody, etc. Jim, I'm just pouring my heart out to you today and to all who are listening. You know, when you read Romans chapter 1, Paul didn't write a letter of apology and say, you know, I think what I wrote about same-sex relationships may have been hurtful. I didn't intend to hurt anybody. You and I, Jim, know that God has to cut us open in order to heal us. And sometimes being offended is the best thing for us, because there is an offense to the cross. So the plea of my heart today is we have to stand for truth and not use a wrong view of love to be drawn away. So that's another way in which a church goes woke.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer here with us today. Friends, I know time is limited, but we'll try and get a couple calls in. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. His book is entitled No Reason to Hide, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing Culture. And there is so much more than what we've talked about here today. We didn't get into it, but even addresses the matter of the Great Global Reset. You may wonder, what is that connection to standing for Christ in a collapsing culture? Well, you'll find that in the book, No Reason to Hide. We'll be back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On Sunday night, September 18th, we released Brainwashed America, Part 2. It's just under 3 hours, but boy, does it move fast. And I interview many people that you need to hear from, including 4 retired high-ranking FBI agents. I also interviewed 3 men that were in the Vietnam POW camps, in fact, went to the Hanoi Hilton and were tortured in amazing and brutal ways by the communists. To do what? To go along, to take part in propaganda, to be used. I hope you'll go and watch it. It's free. Give it to as many people as you can to inform them and educate them about the battle for the mind. It's a spiritual battle, and it's a natural battle. WVWTV.com, Brainwashed America, Part 2. Thank you.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, not only the global reset, but will we compromise with the Christian left? That's another chapter in the book here today. And more about our children. Will we accept the blessing of gospel-centered suffering? So many issues here. And but you'll find it in the book, No Reason to Hide. Again, it is at the VCY bookstore, 58% off, only through September 30th at for just $7.98. Available at vcy.com or by calling 1-888-722-4829. Let's go to Barry in Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to tell Robert Lutzer that his observations are very wise, they're very deep, they're right on target, and they need to be heard.
Amen. Thank you, Barry. Let's go to Danielle in El Mirage, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I'm calling about the whole George Floyd, Black Lives Matter thing and all the division that's going on. For one, this is a spiritual battle, and everybody should know that and, you know, get in their Bible and go to church and do everything that's right. But they're dividing us on purpose. I even have a video of the whole George Floyd thing, and it is just actors and actresses, and it's all put on, so they divide us all.
Yeah. Thank you for raising that issue, dividing us on purpose. And Dr. Lutzer, isn't that even what a tenet of what socialism is all about, pushing us toward this division and being at angst with one another?
Exactly. But it is true, of course, that George Floyd, you know, was put to death. We all know that story and the trial that ensued and so forth. So we're not denying racism necessarily. We're just acknowledging that it exists in every human heart and not just in white hearts, you know. Yeah. In other words, we're living at a time when we must recognize that all of us are sinners. We all have to come to the foot of the cross and to receive forgiveness, that we really don't have a skin problem as much as we have a sin problem. And until we recognize that, all that there will be is division. And are we being divided deliberately? Absolutely.
Maxine is calling from Conneaut, Ohio. Maxine, you're on the air.
Thank you. I had a grandmother who was, I guess, very ahead of her time. And I, as a child, had boys for friends in my neighborhood. And so I wanted to be a boy. And she said to me, Maxine, when you can kiss your elbow, you can become a boy.
Didn't happen,
so
did it?
It took me 2 weeks to figure out I was stuck.
Yeah.
I had no way to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are girls who like to play around with boys, but that doesn't make them boys.
Right, right.
The simple fact is that the distinctions biologically and in every other way are very deep and uncrossable.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Jackie in West Dallas, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thank you for giving me the time. I have a comment. I've listened to you every day. I wish that Christians would pick up their Bibles, would stand together, and I support all these teachers who are and doctors who have not decided to go along with the narrative of this world. But if Christians, old and young, don't remember who you belong to. We are not to walk in fear. Come out of your houses. I challenge every Christian to put a sign in a window saying, I love Jesus. Stand. We got to stand as Christians. We have to remember we don't walk in fear.
Yeah.
That God is a jealous God. I always call in and say this because if we all stand together, it is more Christians in this world. We have to stand up right now. It come an hour where no man was going to be able to work. If you don't work for God right now, they're going to have you under bondage and you won't be able to work at all. Old, young Christians, wake up.
Thank you, Jackie.
And grab onto the gospel. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. And Dr. Lutzer, I mean, that's the subtitle of your book, Standing for Christ in a Collapsing
yeah.
Culture.
Jim, I want to comment on what she said, if I still have a minute or two. Mm-hmm. I know time goes quickly. At Moody Church, a teacher told me in the public schools, he said that it is not enough if he simply tolerates same-sex marriage. He said, if I don't celebrate it, I could lose my job.
Wow.
Now, to the point that was made by the last caller, if he loses his job because he can't celebrate what God has condemned, Is the rest of the church going to come around him and say, hey, we're going to help you pay your bills, we're going to stand with you, you're in a period of transition, you have a wife and children? So what this caller was saying is so important. We're going to have to stand together in new ways that we are not used to.
Hmm. Let's squeeze in Joe in Laval. You're on the air, Joe.
Hey, Mr. Schneider, Dr. Lutzer, I need to share how the universities are promoting self-deception of professional identity. The story is I matriculated at the University of Wisconsin, and in their career skills workshop, they had a series of seminars, and they literally said, fake it till you make it. And they're just recruiting these naive young adults, myself included at the time, into these grandiose delusions of you're going to get some type of professional job when you graduate. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, myself included, it's not happening. Even though I tried to fake it to make it, it just did not work because the truth wins out in the end.
Thank you for that. Dr. Lutzer, we're down to just 60 seconds here. I know you could talk for hours just on what's happening on the university campus and those that are being cranked through the educational process.
I point out in the book, Jim, that kids today in university are educated for jobs that don't exist. Most of them are going into diversity studies. Well, you can have only so many diversity officers in a business, and consequently, they will discover that what the world needs is people who actually know math, people who are into science and all the other things, but they're not educated for that. Everybody wants to go into queer studies, diversity studies, and that is for a life that will not be profitable for them.
Friends, again, this book is really a wake-up call for the church and to understand that we do need to stand for Christ in this culture that is collapsing around us. He addresses so many pertinent topics to right where we're at today. This book available through our VCY bookstore through September 30th at 58% off. You can reach out to them at vcy.com or 1-888-722-4829. Dr. Lutzer, thank you for investing your time into these materials and put this out in print form, but also to invest your time with our listeners today.
Thanks so much, Jim. God bless you and your listeners.
And Dr. Erwin Lutzer, our guest here today on Crosstalk. And friends, if you get a busy signal at the bookstore, just wait a bit and call back or reach out at vcy.com. God bless you, folks. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.